Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Future Brew Podcast right here on maizeandbrew.com. I'm Vaughn Lozon, and with me to talk about a slew of Michigan football recruiting updates this week, John Simmons is back, and is Seth Berry. John, how are you doing, my friend? How was your weekend?
I'm good. Had a fun time. Went to a bachelor party in Pittsburgh, actually, and, good to be back talking with you guys.
Awesome. Hey, I love a good bachelor party. You can't go wrong with that. Pittsburgh, been there one time. Great city. Have no complaints about that place whatsoever. Seth, how are you doing, my friend? I feel like it's been a hot minute since I've last spoken with you over these podcast airwaves. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's been a little while. Yeah, last week I was out, but yeah, I'm doing all right. It was a decent weekend for me. Today was a little bit ruined with the Michigan baseball ending there. That was quite the controversial finish. So I'm still kind of recovering from that. I'm not a rabid Michigan, I don't follow them closely, but when they get to the postseason, they make a run, I like to gravitate toward their success and how they're doing. And that was a rough call there in the eighth. So
it was a rough way to go, man. I don't know what it is about Louisville, but this is what, two controversial officiating with Michigan versus Louisville, this one being baseball. The last one, of course, being the Trey Burke block that was called a foul. If we just like never played Louisville in anything ever again, I think I'd be okay with it. But that's kind of how I feel about that. We have a lot to get to today on the football recruiting front. There's been quite a bit going on over the past week. We'll look ahead to the official visitors this weekend, but we want to start today's podcast talking about the 24 class and with one prospect in particular who is not only in Michigan's backyard, but is a Michigan legacy. It is Lloyd Carr's grandson, CJ Carr, who just so happens to be the number one prospect in the state of Michigan in the 24 class. He's the number five overall quarterback in the class. He is number 24 nationally, a five-star prospect at 6'3", 190 from Saline. So again, right in Michigan's backyard. He's been going to Michigan games, grew up a Michigan fan. I mean, he's in one of the biggest Michigan families around today by far. So it was kind of surprising to me to see all of these crystal balls start flowing to Notre Dame today. And then there was the announcement today, Monday, June 6th is when we're recording this, that CJ Carr would be committing later this week on Thursday. And obviously Notre Dame, Michigan among the finalists, as is Michigan State, but State hasn't really been recruiting him all that hard. A few other finalists in there as well, but it really looks like this is going to be Notre Dame that he's going to be committing to, really just from the outside looking in, at least, and not really having any like ears to the ground, so to speak, as far as connections or knowing what is going on with this recruitment, really seems like a dropped ball on Michigan's part to have a guy like CJ Carr in your backyard and have it be the grandson of it. In my opinion, at least, the best head coach Michigan football has seen in a really, really long time. He won a national championship. You can say what you want about Bo. Bo never won a championship. I would take Lloyd Carr over Bo. I don't know if that's a controversial opinion or not, but I digress. Really just seems like a lost cause here. And obviously there's a lot of time to make up ground in this recruitment. He's in the 24 class, so he's not going to be signing this December. He's going to be signing next December. So there is a ton of time to sort all of this out. John, I'm just going to throw it to you for your first reaction to seeing that he was going to be committing so soon. And then all of the crystal balls flowing now for Notre Dame, just a bit of a head scratcher for me, honestly.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise here is that he is going to wrap up his recruitment so early. I think Michigan definitely thought they had some more time to keep fighting in this battle, but I think Notre Dame just really knocked it out of the park here and was able to get him to move up his timeline and presumably commit to them later in the week. So I think that was just a really good job by them and kind of a shocker to Michigan staff and the other schools recruiting him. You know, he mentioned in his announcement they wanted to get going, like recruiting his class of guys too. So, you know, I think that's going to be a really big thing for Notre Dame, unfortunately, for them on the recruiting trails that keep this buzz going.
Yeah, it's just absolutely insane that this is this is what it's come to. And I, you know, Seth, I'll toss it to you. I don't want to say that you know, this is doomsday by any means, but I certainly you never want to see a Michigan legacy quite like him end up committing to not only a different school but a rival school. But Michigan, I'm not gonna say this is like, you know, all hope is lost, not only with CJ Carr, but they're also recruiting a couple other five-star quarterbacks. Jaden Davis, who's in the 24 class, he's the number one quarterback in the class, number two player in the country. He was just visiting Michigan this past weekend. They also are in it for Julian Sain, who is a five-star quarterback, the third-ranked quarterback in the class, number 15 overall in the country. So it's not like it was CJ Carr or bust like it is in the 23 class with Dante Moore. Now, what I will ask you, Seth, is if you think, speaking of Dante Moore, do you think that this potential commitment for CJ Carr in the 24 class to Notre Dame impacts what Dante Moore may do? Because I feel like it does, because it's been said by multiple people that these two quarterbacks would not ever commit to the same program. So you would imagine that with him committing to Notre Dame, you would imagine Dante Moore is probably going to be looking harder at different schools, such as Michigan. Maybe a Texas A&M gets a better look. Maybe an Oregon gets a better look. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, I think Michigan is going to definitely benefit from CJ Carr committing to Notre Dame if that does happen with Dante Moore. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, as a Michigan fan, you would obviously hope that this would mean, you know, that Dante Moore is obviously opening up his list of schools. You know, if Carr does indeed choose Notre Dame on Thursday, that Moore would say, hey, not only Michigan, but, you know, you talked about Texas A&M, and they've been kind of getting into the fold for him as well. So yeah, no, I think it's definitely going to benefit Michigan, whether Dante Moore, you know, decides to go in the direction of the Wolverines, you know, that'll remain to be seen. But yeah, I mean, when speaking to Carr, it's a little bit of a disappointment, obviously, especially when, you know, you look at, you know, they're looking at other top quarterbacks as well, but that he is obviously the one that's in your backyard and just the highest chance to probably recruit and get, you know, out of the quarterbacks that are highly ranked there. So no, I think it's a blow. I was kind of wondering if you guys think, you know, since it's so early, and him committing on Thursday, do you think it's just like over? Like, you know, he's committed, like he's verbally committed. Obviously we've seen guys verbally commit and they reverse course and whatnot. Like, I was gonna ask you guys, do you think Michigan would have any shot down the road maybe to just continue to recruit him? And, you know, I mean, I know it's hard to say, but I was just wondering if you guys think it's like dead set over if he chooses Notre Dame on Thursday.
Well, I don't personally think it's ever done until ink gets onto paper. So I think they will end up going after him still. I don't think they're just going to stop recruiting him by any means, just because of, you know, all those factors that we've already laid out there. Highly ranked kid from the state of Michigan, has deep family ties to the program. So, John, you may think differently, but I think they're going to recruit him until December of 2023. If it ends up taking that long, unless they get one of these other five-star quarterbacks to commit as early as a CJ Carr does, then I would anticipate they continue to recruit him. What do you think, John? And then we'll move on.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like sometimes in these occasions, they kind of tend to move on more than you would think. And I think with them in good position with a lot of the other good top QBs in that class, and maybe with the potential opening with Dante Moore, I'm not sure that I think they'll go after him as hard as they would before he was uncommitted, but that's just my opinion and read of things. So who knows?
Yeah, it's an intriguing situation, no doubt. So we'll certainly monitor all of this. And yeah, it's just certainly was shocking to see that on Twitter today that CJ Carr would be committing so quickly in this 24 class. Not really something you see a whole lot of, a junior prospect of his caliber, nonetheless, highly ranked, ends up committing super early. So we'll certainly monitor that and keep everybody informed on how all of this goes. But let's move on to a couple other topics here because there were, let's switch back to the 23 class for the remainder of this podcast. 24 is out the window. Positive vibes only the rest of the way, boys. So Michigan ended up sending out a couple new offers to a pair of 23 recruits with some very intriguing backgrounds. And this happened over the weekend. So the first one that we'll discuss here is three-star offensive lineman Ryan Carretta. And he is 6'5", 310 pounds. He is from Columbus, Ohio. He's ranked number 912 overall in the composite and the number 77 offensive tackle in the class, number 32 in the state of Ohio in 2023. Has other offers from Kentucky, Duke, Louisville, Purdue, Illinois, pretty much a lot of really good basketball schools. But he was offered by Jim Harbaugh and Sharon Moore after he put on a really strong performance on the camp front this past weekend in Ann Arbor. He had interviewed with Alan Trio of 24/7 Sports after he got the offer and had told him that he is now looking to officially visit at some point in the near future. He has an official visit set up for Pitt the weekend of June 17th. So he will not be in Ann Arbor for Victor's weekend. He's also looking to set up an official visit with Kentucky as well. So John, I'll throw it right back to you, my friend. This the board at offensive tackle is very interesting this cycle. I'm not sure where he would fit in on that board or where he would really fit in with the team along the offensive line, but he looks like a kid who could play right tackle, but also move inside if needed. I wanted to get your thoughts on this offer as we kind of just keep progressing into the summer. They had a few offers like this last summer along the camp circuit. Alessandro Lorenzetti is the one that comes to mind since he committed to Michigan last cycle in a very similar way. So just wanted to get your thoughts on this offer and what Ryan Carretta might bring to the Wolverines if he were to commit.
Yeah, I think it's always significant when a kid at a camp gets an offer after the coaches watch him. I think that means they think highly of his ability, even though he's not that highly ranked right now. I think if he wants to be in this class, though, he might have to set up a visit pretty soon because Michigan's, you know, kind of set to get a lot of their top targets at offensive line on campus in the next couple of weeks with, you know, Paul Mubanga and Logan Howland and Evan Link and Landon Hatchett, guys like that. Chris Tarek, who Michigan's also really high on, have been recruiting for a while, are making official visits, you know, the 10th and the 17th. So, and I think there's definitely potential for multiple of them to commit. So I think that's going to tell a lot of where the Carretta fits on the board. If they keep recruiting him hard, even after they land a few of these guys, assuming that they do following these official visits. So I guess we'll have to see after that.
Yeah, Seth, how about you, buddy? I mean, this is just one of those, like John said, I mean, you always kind of raise your eyebrows a little bit more when they end up offering a kid along the camp circuit. It certainly means that not only did they see him perform, but they were also reportedly very happy with the way that his body has progressed this offseason as well. So certainly worthy of the offer if they saw him you know, in this camp setting. And very interesting offer nonetheless. Also from Columbus. And to pull a kid from Columbus, even though he may not get an offer from Ohio State, I'll take the minor victories when I can get them, Seth. I certainly will.
Exactly. Yeah. Any victory over Columbus should be celebrated for sure. But yeah, no, I think like you guys said, you make a valid point. Anytime you see a guy in person and, you know, the coaches get a chance to evaluate and, you know, see how he's progressed. And like I said, with his body and just going through the things that they put him through during the camp, that's, you know, obviously they were very impressed with what they saw. I think John made a good point of, you know, he's going to have to get on campus soon, I think, for Michigan, if he really wants to get himself, you know, in the mix. And we'll see, you know, as these official visits happen with some of these, you know, top tier offensive linemen coming up, you know, we'll see where things fall there. But I think a guy that Michigan just wanted to kind of, you know, pinpoint and say, hey, you know, this is a guy that, you know, if things work out, then, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, other huge offers. And if he keeps progressing and keeps, you know, working his way up the board, then it's a guy who could fit in somewhere. If he were to, you know, if both parties continue to show interest. So yeah, I think it's one of those things where Michigan says, hey, you know, we like this guy. We saw him, you know, let's give him an offer and kind of see where things go from here.
Yeah. Just trust the coaches' evaluations. And I mean, things will work out for sure. Let's talk about the second recruit who was offered over the weekend, because this kid's even more interesting than Coretta. His name is I don't know how I'm going to be able to pronounce this. It's Amarik Kumba. He is a 2023 edge prospect listed at 6'4", 230, and he lives in France. So he is an international prospect, which is certainly an angle that Michigan can hit hard, thanks to guys like David Ojabo and Quiddy Pay, who just so happened to also be edge recruits in their days as high school recruits. So Mike Elston is the one who extended this offer. Also, it seems like he's really sent out offers to like a million edge prospects in this cycle alone, but Kumba might be the most interesting of the bunch. He nailed the Michigan offer and a few others after a camp, a setting of his own over the weekend. He also got offers from Georgia Tech and Colorado and UConn, a few others in there as well. So he posted all of those offers on Twitter. And the one that he pinned to his Twitter profile is the Michigan one. So that should kind of tell you how high the Wolverines are in his recruitment right off the bat. So like I said earlier, John, Michigan can really hit that angle of international players having success at Michigan. Just look at Ojabo and Quiddy Pay. You know, if it wasn't for the Achilles injury to Ojabo, I think you'd be able to say that both of those guys who were international prospects at one point, both became first round picks out of the University of Michigan. So it's just unfortunate that Ojabo fell to the second round because of the injury. But it is what it is at this point. I think if you're Mike Elston, if you're Jesse Minter and Michigan, you just hit that angle really, really hard, especially if you want him in your class, if this is a takeable commitment here, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I would say with the way that Elston recruits, he's a really good recruiter. You got this international angle and the need for multiple edge guys in this class. They don't really have one at this moment. John, this should be a slam dunk for Michigan if they really push for him.
Yeah, you talked about Elston offering a lot of edges. He's also specifically offering a lot of international guys at edge, you know, Mapoi and Collins Achiempong and Bai Job and guys like that. So I think he definitely has a type there and is going to use Michigan's pitch that you talked about with specifically with these guys, and I think it'll eventually pay off. You know, I was reading about him, about how he's going to go back to France, I think, for the summer, then try to make his official visits in the fall, which I think Michigan will probably receive one of those if they're still hot after him at that point. So I think this is another one where kind of the timeline will, you know, determine how much Michigan pursues him based on who they have in the class so far. So, you know, if they decide he's a top target, I think they'll keep pushing him and make him a take no matter what. But if they fill up with guys from this June visit stretch, then they may drop contact for a little bit. So I think it's just one guy to keep tabs on. I think he'd be easy to forget because he's, you know, across the ocean in France, but definitely an intriguing guy for sure.
Yeah, Seth, want to get your thoughts on Kumba as well at 6'4", 230. I mean, he fits that mold that Ojabo played in that in the new style of defense that Michigan's going to have moving forward with Jesse Minter as that outside linebacker, edge rusher. I mean, he kind of fits the bill, you know, height, weight wise, and reportedly has a wingspan of 7'1". So that's a pretty long wingspan for a guy just in general. I mean, it doesn't really seem like he's had a whole lot of experience playing football. So again, another one of those raw type of defensive line prospects that Michigan has historically recently done very well with.
I just have to say, Vaughn, it's kind of satisfying listening to you struggle with a name pronunciation instead of me every week. So
I'm giving you a run for your money, man. I had to do it every once in a while. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. Yeah. I think you know, it's intriguing that, you know, Mike Elston is kind of picked up where, you know, the old coaching staff left off in terms of recruiting these international prospects, you know, at the edge rusher position. Of course, it makes sense with the transition from Mike McDonald into Jesse Minter, and considering, you know, they have similar schemes and, you know, similar talent evaluation, I think, from that standpoint as well. But no, obviously a player that Michigan is, you know, that could, you know, if they continue to pursue, then, you know, like I said, it should be slam dunk for them. If they, you know, continue like his frame and the way he, you know, if they feel like they can get him on campus and develop him like they did with Ojabo and Pay and these guys that have really panned out. So no, I think it's a good strategy to, you know, to keep trying to, you know, kind of get momentum with these type of players. And, you know, it's something that if it's not broken, don't fix it. So the player development, you know, from that standpoint, has been really good from the Michigan coaching staff. So yeah, this is really intriguing to me.
Yeah, and they still got Julius Welshoff on campus too. So if he does take an official to Michigan and they do want him to commit when he does end up visiting campus, just pair him up with Welshoff and have him talk about life at Michigan for the international prospects and, you know, just go from there. I think you could really hit that angle hard. And I think that's really the biggest and most important angle that they're going to hit in this recruitment, or just really any of the recruitments for these international guys. Cause like John said, they're going after a few of them. So it should be kind of easy to sell that to these kinds of recruits. Very interested to see how this all pans out moving forward, but let's move on to our last topic here. Running out of time, but I want to talk about this upcoming weekend. They're going to be in Ann Arbor, going to have a lot of official visitors here, and they just had a couple guys last week who officially visited. But so this is really the weekend where the fun really starts. Obviously, next Friday is Victor's weekend, but this weekend you're still got like a dozen or probably 12 to 15 when it's all said and done, 2023 prospects who will be on campus starting this Friday. So we really should know a lot more about Michigan's class by the end of the month. So we can't hit all of the guys on the podcast today that are going to be visiting. So we're just going to talk about a few of them today, and go to maizeandbrew.com later this week, and you will find the full list of players officially visiting. But for now, let's just talk about a few of them. We all picked one guy that we wanted to chat about extensively. So we'll start with the guy that I picked. And I'm going with four-star tight end Luke Haas. And I don't know if that's how you pronounce his last name either. H-A-S-Z is how you spell that if you want to go look up his profile on any of the recruiting websites. But he's a relatively new target, has been committed to Arkansas since January. He is a top 100 overall player, the number 5 tight end in the 23 class. And according to the Michigan Insider, the reason that Michigan offered him in the first place is because he's the one who reached out to Michigan, kind of expressing interest. It wasn't the other way around. So they chatted, Michigan offered, and then he set his official visit not long after that offer. So it does seem like he's pretty locked in and committed to Arkansas. And I do think it will be tough to pry him away, mainly because Arkansas is really working hard on this recruitment here. They offered his brother, who is another 2023 prospect very recently. So the opportunity for him to play with his brother in college is absolutely there if he wants it at Arkansas. But in my opinion, you can't deny that Michigan is a better opportunity in general, especially for his position group at tight end. Jim Harbaugh has put tons of guys in the league for years at his position, going back to his days at Stanford. So at the very least, he is going to check out Ann Arbor, see what they have to offer. And as a Michigan fan, you would just hope and pray that they do enough this weekend to have him back out of that verbal commitment to Arkansas. So, John, I'll pass it to you real quick. What do you think about this recruitment and Michigan's chances with him?
Yeah, I think the signs are kind of pointing that he's maybe looking around at other schools. You know, obviously reaching out to Michigan while being committed to Arkansas is a big one, and I think Arkansas themselves are nervous, just given the fact that they're offering his brother, who's not quite the same level of prospect as he is. So I think, you know, Arkansas coaches kind of notice that he's not quite as satisfied as they'd like to. So I think there's definitely an opening here for Michigan to swoop in and make a big move here this weekend.
Yeah, definitely a gigantic opportunity. And he visited Alabama last weekend, so you can never really count out the Crimson Tide when it comes to any top 100 prospect, really. Seth, what do you think about this recruitment very quickly? Just very interesting how this has progressed very quickly and then set this official visit. This is a big weekend for Michigan in this recruitment.
Yeah. And we've talked about the tight end spot, you know, for the 2023 class quite a bit in kind of different directions. Michigan is, you know, could potentially go with this and with some guys coming in to officially visit as well. So, yeah, I mean, obviously that's, like John kind of said, that Arkansas was, you know, maybe he's kind of feeling that, you know, that that he could look in a different direction here, and the Michigan's really been able to get in the mix and get him on campus. So yeah, I agree. It's a big weekend. I really like him as a prospect as well. You know, and it'd be a huge get for Michigan if they could reel him in this class. And like you said, Jim Harbaugh's you know, history with developing tight ends and being able to, you know, they always contribute in Michigan's offense. So it's got to be an intriguing place for Haas to see if he can, you know, see if both parties can continue to show interest and just see what happens here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a massive weekend for this recruitment and so many more. John, which prospect did you choose that you want to highlight real quick?
I'm going to talk about Ramir Stewart, who is a four-star safety from Imhotep Institute in Philadelphia. He's actually not taking an official visit, which I think is notable. He's coming up for an unofficial. So, you know, I think he's a pretty quiet kid, doesn't talk as much about his top schools. Michigan's made his top group, but it's kind of unclear where he falls in that or where he is on Michigan's board. But I think getting him up for this unofficial is big because it means they can get him back on campus for an official in the fall once the board kind of shakes out better. And it was also just announced that his teammate, who's a four-star linebacker, Samaj Bridgman, will be taking an official visit this weekend along with him. So I think that'll be good. Michigan's linebacker board is pretty thin right now, too. So if they can wrap both those guys up, I think that would be really nice and fill some holes in the recruiting class.
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, the defensive backboard, it's been a really intriguing one this cycle as well. And they don't really need a ton at a corner or safety this cycle, but to get him up on campus for an unofficial this weekend is just absolutely huge. Get him back on campus. Why not just schedule it for the Penn State game and just have it be a blowout? That would be something worthwhile, I'm sure, for a kid from Pennsylvania. Seth, any quick remarks on this recruitment before we turn over to your guy?
Oh, no, I was going to bring up my guy.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just had Jair Hill. He's an athlete from Illinois, from Kankakee, Illinois. A guy that Illinois was his first offer back in 2021. And when Illinois offered him, he was a three-star recruit and, you know, over – over the past year or so. He's shot up. He's a four-star now, 302nd ranked player in the country, according to 247. He has a crystal ball that's projected to Michigan. And, you know, according to On3, Michigan is trending in his favor as well. I know the one concern about him was just physically. I know he could potentially project as a defensive back as well. So as we're on that topic and speaking of corners, but you know, he weighs 170. So I know physically that he might have a little work to do, but he's a guy that's also coming in the 10th that in January, it was before Mike McDonald left for Baltimore. He had a good relationship with McDonald, but Bellamy was also, has also been his main recruiter. So that relationship hasn't fallen off even with McDonald, you know, leaving. So it's been able to maintain a good relationship with Bellamy and the coaching staff. So that's a guy, you know, after he visits this weekend that we could find out more about as well. And in terms of a potential commitment, hopefully, or maybe for him. So, but we'll see what happens, but he's the guy that I kind of, had chosen, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that.
Yeah, I think they probably are looking at him to play somewhere in the defensive backfield as well, whether it be safety or corner. I think he could have an opportunity to make his case for either position. I think that's probably where he's best suited. But it's really going to be a huge weekend for that one as well, because I honestly did think that there may have been an opportunity for them to lock him in before these official visits took place. And kind of seems like Illinois is making some noise in this recruitment here. They got his visit last weekend, and it really seems like the Fighting Illini have made up some ground here. But until proven otherwise, I think Michigan is probably the leader in this recruitment, but I certainly wouldn't be shocked if Illinois had something to say before the end of this recruitment here. But yeah, I mean, I really like him as a prospect. He's a solid four-star on 24/7 Sports, and on the composite, he's ranked 302nd in the country. 24/7 has him at 158. So definitely a lot higher than the composite does, but really good prospect. And no, like I said, go to maizeandbrew.com later this week. We'll have a full visitors list. There's a lot of really good prospects coming this weekend, and a lot of good prospects coming next weekend for Victor's weekend too. So we'll certainly chat about that next week. But that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening, as always. You can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. John, where are you at, buddy?
At Simmons_John.
Seth, where are you at on Twitter?
At Barry_Seth14.
And follow Maize and Brew on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast network and leave 5-star reviews for all of our podcasts. Go check out our YouTube channel. We would greatly appreciate all the support that you can give to us. Thank you so very much for listening. We will catch you guys next week. Go Blue.